If at first you don't succeed, try again. This is the Cascadia Pod. My name is Jeff Budke. I think we're going to roll this time.
And I am Ben Slager.
I love the way we do those intros. It's fantastic. Seamless.
Perfect.
Every time.
I'm the talent. Just remember that.
Did you know, Mr. Talent, that Cascadia, the nation of Cascadia that doesn't really exist, is the 7th most likely nation in the world to secede from its union or unions and become its own nation?
And are 3 others of those also in the United States?
I think Texas was a top 3. What's the other one?
I just assumed like every state in the South was more likely than Cascadia, but I could be wrong.
I think it'd be tough for Oregon and Washington and BC because there's different
different
Canada
countries. Yeah.
Yeah. I think like twice as difficult.
Well, if you're seceding from the United States and Canada, the whole process is going to be a little bit tricky anyway, so.
I think the people that are really excited that they downloaded this podcast looking for a revolution podcast are going to be really happy with how we started.
True. That's why we gave it to them early.
Unfortunately, it goes downhill from there for them in that we are going to talk about Cascadian soccer, Cascadian football, and the Portland Timbers, Seattle Sounders, and Vancouver Whitecaps. It was a full weekend. The Rose City Invitational was going on. Portland and Vancouver played in that. We'll talk about that in a second. Seattle played in Charleston. I submit to you that is the worst feat I've ever seen of a soccer game that was free.
There was also some U.S. Open Cup feeds that we've seen in the past that have been pretty bad. So I never judge them too much because I've seen some pretty bad.
The Timbers played at FC Dallas in the U.S. Open Cup last year, and I remember the whole time screaming at the computer, please zoom out, because they would just zoom in on the ball. And it's very difficult to watch a soccer match that way.
Yeah, I don't know if they have like interns up there or what's going on, but it is not good.
I feel like we have to start today with the worst news of all time, and that Eric Zavaleta is going to Chivas USA. How broken up are you about that?
Why is that bad news? As a Sounder, that's great news. He gets to go play for an MLS club, get MLS experience against the exact teams that the Sounders will be playing against.
When the news broke, one of the lines, like the first couple lines that I read, said Zavaleta will not be allowed to participate against the Sounders this year. Mm-hmm. And my first thought was, oh, why not? My second thought was, of course he's not allowed to do that.
My first thought when the news came out was like, wait a second, is he allowed to play against the Sounders? And then I realized it's a league mandate with any intra-league loan that they can't play against the team that they came from.
I don't think that would ever happen, but can you imagine like him just throwing the game for Chivas? Or like, I don't even know what it would look like for a forward to throw it.
Most clubs put a clause, like say when Everton had Lukaku on loan, there's a clause in his contract that he can't play against Chelsea. And Chelsea put that in when they went on loan. So as more so that he wouldn't hurt the club that he came from.
Chelsea loans out a lot of players.
Yeah. It's
I feel like they do it more
talent.
Than... You think it has to do with talent? Because they're very deep.
They are.
That's 100% why we're here. We're here to discuss Chelsea football. I hate Chelsea.
I'm sorry.
I'm just going to say it.
I'm not their biggest fans either.
It's because of that year that Tottenham finished fourth, finally, and then Chelsea won the Champions League. I'll never forgive them for that. It wasn't really their fault. I blame Bayern. I really hate Bayern Munich.
I'm sorry.
Moral of the story. So Portland played Vancouver yesterday. It was a 1-1 draw. It was a good match. I think Portland and Vancouver both got to put out 11s that they felt good about. Except for no Darren Maddox and Laba. What's his name?
Matthias.
The young DP from Toronto that they just got this week.
Matthias Laba,
thank you. Young DP role, was that half the salary? You were explaining this to me because I'm incompetent with MLS rules.
So youth DPs count as about half. They're 175,000 against the cap instead of the full 325. Well, I guess it's a little bit higher this year, closer to 350. So yeah, about half against what I'm completely blanking on the word. Anyway, half of the hit on your salary,
regardless of what they're paid
as a senior DP would be.
Regardless of what they're paid, it
Correct.
Just counts as three. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Interesting stuff. Toronto, like we mentioned last week, have had a lot of DPs in the last couple of years, and this year they were straddled with 4 DPs, and you can't have that. Even though he's a youth DP, went to Vancouver. Vancouver, in turn, traded Kobayashi, who had a few spectacular goals for them last year, but overall, I think, disappointed a lot of Vancouver fans. And he is now with the New England Revolution. Anyway, so Portland played Vancouver yesterday. It was a 1-1 draw. Portland scored in the third minute on a free kick that I think Austed, the Vancouver keeper, gets 95 out of 100 times. It just kind of squeezed through the wall and just bounced through. The announcer, it was funny, was talking about, he was trying to excuse the keeper. He said, it is really cold out there. And when you watch the replay, all you can really think is, well, at least it's preseason. And in about the 80th minute, Jack Jewsbury, the defender for the Timbers, fouled Kakua Mane in the box and drew a penalty kick for Vancouver. And they scored. I can't remember who did it. This is really good.
It's Vancouver. It's our very.
This is way more than a minute. This is way more than a minute on Vancouver.
Okay, so let's transition here. What do you think about Jack Jewsbury as a defender? Because I know, like, the first couple of years he was your captain, and you were all for Captain Jack holding down the midfield.
He was an all-star in 2011.
Because he was just serving up assists, you know, all over the place. What was that, the first year?
So yeah, I think he finished the year with about 8 goals and 8 assists for a defensive mid, or maybe even an attacking mid a little bit, but still a great season.
So how do you feel about him now that he's shifted into a more defensive role for the team?
I think I, more than you, appreciate the on-field leadership and the on-field tactics of someone that's been there, that's been through the ups and downs of MLS seasons, and just that. But when I think about who's better at right back, who's the Portland Timbers' best right back, it's not always Jack Jewsbury that comes to mind. He's very smart. He's a very good passer. He seems to pick his spots exceptionally well. But athletically, it is a surprise to see him still in Caleb Porter's system. I really thought this offseason that he would have moved on. But he's still there.
Interesting. He's like the Brad Evans of the U.S. men's national team for your Portland Timbers.
A higher level with a good... I think Brad Evans is a good player. And like Brad Evans, you know, Jack's going to have his spots that are going to make people forget about a lot of errors. But, I mean, as far as speed goes, he's an older MLS player now. It's just not happening.
Yeah. I would think with how Caleb Porter sets up your team, he would not want Jack Jewsbury playing along that back line. I would think he'd want a speedy,
you know who he
attacking
wants?
Option.
DeAndre Yedlin is who he wants.
But there's no chance he would get DeAndre Yedlin.
Yedlin sold out for Klinsmann, by the way. He cut his hair. That was unbelievable.
I guess you could call that a sellout or respect, maybe. Or
respect for... Okay, you're going to call it respect.
It's all how you spin it here, but...
When will the hair come back? It'll come back, right?
He said he's already planning on a nice new do for the beginning of the season, but... It's pretty short right now, so there's only so much you can do. So I'm curious to see what he does.
Former Portmore United player, Alvis Powell, he played a few minutes for the Timbers last season.
I remember that.
I think he is the athletic, freakishly fast outside back that Caleb Porter would rather have. But he's so raw that I think he's a good year, half a season away, at least.
Yeah, I remember you talking to me last year. He's like, he's our DeAndre Yedlin, and I watched him, and I was like, he had a few great runs where he just like would blow by people. But same thing when we originally saw DeAndre Yedlin, not a lot of finished product. Once he got to the byline, he was like, what do I do now? Do I cross it? I'm just going to hook this ball in without any real purpose. And also, it looks like he lacks some positioning and some defensive skills. So I can see where he can grow into that. But he definitely has the raw talent. He's super fast.
I don't remember the opponent last year, but I remember watching DeAndre Yedlin fly up the side, and instead of throwing in another subpar cross, he cut in. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember if he scored or if he had an assist where he was inside the box, almost to the 6-yard box.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember Mara was like on the inside there, like doing an overlapping run with him, and Mara was just like pushing him forward to take it on.
And that is the kind of move that it's hard, it's uncomfortable. It's for an outside back to go that far and to really push and trust that his teammates are going to protect him and then to get inside. I think Alvis Powell and DeAndre Yedlin can do that, but they're not going to do that consistently yet. DeAndre Yedlin's, what, 19, 20?
He's 20 now.
Alvis Powell, I think, is 20, maybe 19. And a bright future for both of them. Yedlin's a lot farther along than Powell is right now.
So from a non-Sounders perspective, do you see DeAndre Yedlin playing for the U.S. men's national team in Russia 2018?
Yes.
Okay.
I see him and a guy like Luis Gil, RSL's... is he a midfielder?
Yeah, central midfielder.
Yeah, he's a central midfielder. And Julian Green just being the next wave of just awesome U.S. players. And I'm genuinely excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm excited to cheer for DeAndre. I think I'll always cheer for DeAndre Yedlin. I really like him. I like his style. He played at Akron, and Caleb Porter had signed up to coach at Portland, and then he still remained at Akron to finish the year. And so I watched a couple Akron games. I remember seeing Yedlin and being like, wow, that kid can play, and his hair is weird. It's very strange. I think it's good. I think it's good for the future of the U.S. Good Vancouver stuff right there. It's good talk.
It's the best. It's what we bring here, really. It's all about Vancouver talk.
When I think about what Ben Zemanski could bring at right back instead of Jack Dewsbury, the temptation there is to just put your best players on the pitch. When he may not be the smartest right back, but he would be the most athletic, and he could do it right now. But I don't know. I think you have to be wary of doing that, because he is the backup to Will Johnson and Diego Chara. He can fill that midfield role. And even though I think he'd rather start at right back, we need him to be the backup midfielder. And that's a bummer, you know. When Dewsbury, he can do his role. He can do his job for 90 minutes. He can play 30 games a year still. That's value. There's value there.
Why couldn't they put Zemanski as the right back and still be the backup midfielder? Say, like, when they needed to slot him in for Charo.
Evans does that, doesn't he? He kind of plays everywhere.
I think, we'll get to this later, but I think Evans is actually going to start in midfield.
I think so.
So
interesting.
But at the same time, Evans... So say, like, you start Zemanski at right back, and you need him to, fill a role in the midfield. Why don't you just sub on Dewsbury at that point, move Zemanski into the midfield, and then have Dewsbury...
Chara or
right
Will get hurt, and then...
Oh, you're saying, like, as injury recovery.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it as injury recovery, but just to put him at right back, I don't know how hard of a transition that is, to just have the mindset of a central defensive midfielder. Yeah, that's your life, that's been your job since you got to Portland over a year ago, and just to transition to right back, I don't know what that looks like.
I don't either.
Good stuff.
Because as most of you probably do, maybe don't know, neither Jeff nor I could ever be professional soccer players.
Not yet.
It's true.
Rise and shine.
We're still on the trail.
Here's a Vancouver moment. I thought that Jay DeMeritt, dearly beloved Jay DeMeritt, whom I love, and has the best documentary of soccer I've ever seen. No, that's not true. The Brothers Escobar was really good. Did you ever see that, the 30
yeah.
for 30? But Rise and Shine is such a great documentary. And I love Jay. I love what he brought to U.S. soccer and what he did in the Premier
League. The Two Escobars, that's the name of it.
In what?
The Two Escobars.
The Two Escobars, you're right.
That's such a great... That's,
oh, it's
I mean,
so good.
Anyway, if you haven't seen it, 30 for 30 film, go check it out right now. Stop the pod.
That's the only one I've ever...
Is better used watching the Two Escobars.
That's the only 30 for 30 I've cried at. And I assume I'll cry during the Tanya Harding one when I see that.
From laughter?
I don't know. Why? You want to do a limited fake Nancy Kerrigan?
Why? Why? For the record, I've never heard that audio clip. I've just heard it mocked by so many people.
Are you serious?
I just, yeah.
How have you escaped? How have you watched sports television?
I really don't know.
Huh?
So I could be doing it completely right or completely wrong.
No, you nailed it.
Wrong.
You nailed it, buddy. Oh, I thought DeMeritt looked a little slow. I thought he looked a step behind. I don't think it's the end of the line by any means, and he is recovering from injury, but I think that could be a problem for Vancouver in March, at least.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't take long, and suddenly you lose a step, and you're just not very good anymore. And if DeMeritt's getting older and with this injury, it just compounds everything. I really hope that's not the case, because I love DeMeritt as a person and as a soccer player.
I want to transition now to do you want to talk about the Seattle DC United game?
Sure.
From yesterday. Let's touch on that. But first, we want to give a shout out to T.S. McHugh's in Seattle, Washington on Mercer Street. It's a great place. We record every episode here. The beer is good. Brad is great. And if you need to get a hold of us, if you want to be a sponsor for the pod, you can email us at thecascadiapod@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter @thecascadiapod. Let's dive into that DC United match.
Yeah, so like you were saying, the feed was a little bit off. I thought...
Oh, that feed was terrible.
Yeah, so from what I could see, I thought both teams look like they're ready for the regular season. Sometimes in preseason games, the goals come off of mistakes instead of teams creating things.
Yeah.
And that was definitely not the case. DC got that goal from a PK. Couldn't really, I mean, it's anyone's guess as to whether it was a PK or not, because I could, there's no way I could tell. The Sounders didn't be, seem to be putting up too much of a fight. And then both
Stephen Fry was in goal for the whole game.
Correct. Yeah,
he played. That'll, I assume, will continue.
So Siggy said that he was putting out basically a starting lineup except for the guys who weren't there. So I think Fry is going to be the Sounders starter from opening day. Now Dempsey still needs to slot into this team, so that could change up the midfield a little bit. Now another thing to note is that Leo Gonzalez didn't start. It was Dylan Remick. So I think that was very telling as to where Siggy thinks Dylan Remick is.
That surprises me.
Yeah,
because I thought Leo was quite good for you last year.
He had an amazing year last year. He was a defensive beast, probably the best guy consistently on the back line for the Sounders. So the fact that Dylan Remick is starting is says a lot. He was a high school track athlete star in California. So he's got the raw speed.
Is he a young guy?
Young guy, yep. Drafted him last year.
So Siggy wants two. He's going to have a right back and a left back that can fly.
Yeah. I would assume Remick will hold back a little bit more, and you'll give more of that freedom to DeAndre Yedlin. But his ability to cross, I think he had 3 assists in the preseason. So something to look forward to for the Sounders. I think from that game, it looks like Remick's going to be the starter over Leo, which is a big change. And then as far as the Sounders' goals, you had Papa's goal. That was the second goal. And then Cooper also, which was a little bit of a, you know, mishandling by the goalkeeper. But still, he was in good position several times throughout the game. So his positioning was good. Could have finished a couple other chances, but overall looked really good. I think Obafemi Martins looks like he's ready to roll. I think he's going to have a great season.
Does he look rested? Because he hadn't had an off season in a long time.
He looks rested. He looks like he's gelling with the players. I mean, it looks like he can take on almost anybody. Like, he's just a step better than everybody else. Like, you can see his talent is there. But when he's bearing down on defenders, you can tell he's just better. And so I think he's just going to have a ton of goals this year. He's going to have a great season.
One of the most built forwards I've seen, where he looks just
his thighs are gigantic.
Strong. Yeah.
Like
I was thinking, like, his
my torso.
His chest, and, like, he just looks very strong.
Yeah, he's just built.
He looks built for MLS, to be able to take the just hacking and hack and hack and hack.
Yeah.
No. Did Eddie Johnson play for DC?
No, he was held out with a slight hamstring. Although he did have some interesting comments about how he had no negative feelings, which is maybe a first. He said he had no bad blood between anybody at the Sounders. They had given him a chance, and then it was just a money thing.
Just his time to
pay
go.
Pay me, you know?
Pay me the money. I've heard a few things recently about, like, how he was a bad teammate and how he did this and that, and that just kind of, to me, sounded a little bit like... Sour grapes sounds silly, but almost kind of what the Boston Red Sox did when Terry Francona got fired. They were like, oh, well, you know, he was just a bad clubhouse leader, and there were guys eating chicken and drinking beer. It's like... Well, how much does the manager really know? And then I think about Eddie. They're talking about how Eddie would sit in the middle of the locker room. This is what I heard yesterday. He'd sit in the middle of the locker room and complain about his teammates to no one in particular. And I was like, well,
not
seems
only
like here's...
Did you hear people talk about that, but you can actually see it happen.
Oh, really?
If you've seen the Sounders documentary by Levy Films.
Wasn't that from a few years ago, or a year ago?
It was 2 years ago, the year when he played up top with Montero.
Was that the Freddie and Eddie? Yeah, the Freddie and Eddie.
There's just clips of him just like, talking about how players need to get on the ball, and he's like working. He's telling Siggy, he's like, I'm working so hard. Like, why aren't people passing me the ball? Like, and so Siggy looks at him directly and says, "You think?" And he swears. It's great. Siggy's just like cursing.
I didn't know he had such a potty mouth until that.
Donovan or Robbie Keane are sitting here telling their coach to go tell other players to pass it to him. They're do things. He's like, no, they're stepping up, being a leader, and telling the players around them to do certain things. And he's saying this directly at Eddie Johnson in front of the whole team. And it's like, oh, this is the first year of Eddie. Imagine what the second year was like. So I don't think it's just people saying, like, oh, we were so bad last year because of poor team chemistry. I think it was a legitimate problem. And it's funny because all throughout the year I was saying, chemistry's overrated. Like, just get talented players and they'll figure it out. Like, if you win a championship, everyone's like, oh, this is such a great team. But that's because they won the championship. You know, everyone says, like, oh, we're such a good team. Well, it's easy to have a good team and enjoy each other when you're winning
covers everything.
Yeah. But I think this is a little bit, it went a little bit deeper, and I think it actually was a problem last year. So I don't think it's just lip service and people complaining after the fact. I think it was a legitimate problem.
You legitimately found a polar opposite in Kenny Cooper of Eddie Johnson. I mean, one of Portland's main frustrations with him when he was in Portland was that how nice he was and how he wouldn't really be that aggressor. He wouldn't, and Portland at that time needed him to be kind of a jerk, in the box.
Are you describing Nagby, or are you describing Kenny Cooper here?
Well, I was describing Kenny Cooper. Nagby was too young. He's kind of timid. Darlington's getting better. Darlington doesn't have to be now.
Imagine Nagby with, like, just crazy aggression. Like,
I don't think he'd be playing in Portland. I think he'd be playing in Europe somewhere.
Yeah.
If he just had a little bit of a deuce face in him, which he doesn't have any of, I think that would go a long way. You can't make people be who they're not.
It's true.
And I think Portland's going to build around him. He has a very long-term deal with the knowledge of, like, he's never really going to take over a season. He might take over a couple games, but he's probably not going to take over a season or two. And really push himself to Europe, which would be great.
Yeah.
Let's dive into the best 11s for Seattle and Portland, and we'll pretend that Vancouver hasn't decided yet.
Okay.
You want to go first?
Sure. So I think we learned a lot from that DC-Seattle game, like I was saying earlier. I think Fry's going to be the starter. It'll be his job to lose. I think Siggy said there was a competition, but I don't think there ever really truly was. I think it was always Fry's spot to lose, unless he was terrible.
Hanneman's 43?
Yeah, he's old, or 42.
I mean, I'm not saying that as like, oh, he couldn't do it. It's like, well, you don't want him to start 34 games this year. You want him to start 5.
Yeah.
Or less.
So I think Fry's your guy in the back, and then working from right to left on the back line, I think it's going to go Yedlin on the right side. It's pretty easy. Brad will be there to cover him. And then Andy Baba, I think, is going to start. I think his speed gives the Sounders some flexibility to cover Yedlin and ability to track back. Just allows Yedlin to track further up the field and not have to worry about getting back. And then Chad Marshall next to him, it's amazing. Chad Marshall wins so many headers, and it's not because he can jump better than people. It's just his timing is perfect. It's truly amazing. Like, he wins so many headers, so he's going to be huge.
I think Chad Marshall's going to be really, really, really productive player for the Sounders this year.
That was a huge pickup. I don't think people realized how big of a pickup that was, but it's massive. And then I think Dylan Remick's going to get the start on the left, like I was saying earlier. So there's your back four. Now, midfield, it gets a little bit more confusing. I think Papa's going to start on the left. And then I think Brad and Alonzo are going to fill in the middle. And I think they're going to be very flexible. I think Brad's basically going to go wherever he needs to, because he's just kind of there to support everybody. And then I think they're going to start Clint Dempsey more out on the right. Now, he may shift up top more to be more central, especially as Yedlin moves out that right side. And then I think Brad will kind of shift over.
Well, now, why not put Brad on the right and put Dempsey at the top of the four in the middle?
That could be how it goes.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, and I'm a little uncertain because I just haven't seen all these guys on the same pitch together.
Well, I mean, so, Dempsey hasn't been around.
Right, so it's a little bit of a guessing game.
No way he plays Saturday, right? He's going to be in Ukraine on the 5th.
So here's what Siggy said.
Or Sicily.
And this was before the Fulham-Chelsea game. He said, Deuce will be starting for Fulham. So he must have known something that nobody else did. He'd clearly been talking to Fulham's coach.
I'm guessing Siggy made a phone call.
Yeah, exactly. So he knew Deuce was starting against Chelsea. He went the 90 minutes. I imagine he's going to go probably 70 for the U.S., maybe a full 90. We'll see. I'm not sure how Jurgen's going to run those substitutions. And then
Dempsey has had a few weeks off.
Yeah, I imagine for the first game, Lamar Nagel's going to start, play on the right, and then Deuce will probably come in as like a 65th, 70th minute sub, depending on, you know, what the game calls for. So
I just got a ticket to that Toronto game. I can't wait to go.
It's going
to
be good.
The second week.
I have a wedding that afternoon, so I'll either be showing up in dress clothes or, like, booking it right out.
That's right, because you got to go to a wedding.
Game, yeah.
That'll be a good time.
Yep.
That'd be funny if you dressed up. Are you putting Martins and Cooper up top, 4-4-2?
Yes. Yep, sure am. Although they've had a trialist who I assume they're going to sign, haven't officially announced it yet, Parsemain, who's looked really good, and I'd be curious to see.
Is he going to take Zavaleta's spot in the roster, probably?
Yeah, I think, and Tristan Bowen as well, who can also play out wide. And then Akoli, who's another one of our homegrown players, who's looked really good in the preseason as well. So I think between all those guys, they'll kind of sub in, but I think Cooper and Martins are your two starters.
That sounds about right. Who are your three coming off the bench if they do? Who are the three subs?
I think Lamar Nagel's probably the first off.
Yeah, I think he's a better sub than he's a starter.
Yep, I agree.
Wait, you didn't include Estrada in your starting 11.
That
is that
true.
On purpose? Was that on purpose?
I know
I think maybe you just forgot about Estrada.
Estrada.
Estrada. Hola, David.
Nah, I love David Estrada, but he won't be starting.
Estrada.
So I think...
Over under 10 games played this year, Estrada.
Over.
Not including U.S. Open. Just MLS games.
Push.
Push.
We'll go under.
You really boxed yourself in there with 10.
Exactly.
Push. 10. Okay, so Nagel comes in.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're up a few goals, you put in Leo to shore up the back line. And then if you need a striker off the bench, you bring in Parsemain, maybe Okoli for a burst on the left, depending on how Marco Papa's playing. So any combination of those guys. Estrada could also come in if you just need someone to be in there hustling around, depending on what the game calls for. So.
All right. Portland's probably best 11. Ricketts in goal. It's not Weber, believe it or not. Ricketts in goal. Michael Harrington, who I think is one of the Timbers' most consistent, just solid players. You know what you're going to get. It's not... He rarely makes mistakes. He's not going to win a game for you, but he definitely does his job. Go with Pa Moduka and Paparato in the back. Papa looks good. Tall. Big guy. I like big guys in the back. And then on the right, it's going to be Jewsbury for a while. I would be very surprised if Alice Powell started less than 15 games there this season. He looked great on Wednesday in the preseason match against Portmore United. And moving to the midfield. The midfield, man... As far as formation goes, I was trying to figure out yesterday for the pod, it's almost like a 4-2-1-2-1 kind of thing. I think it'll be called a 4-3-3, but it's very flexible. Will Johnson and Diego Chara are going to share their time moving up and down. Chara in the preseason has moved up more than he did last year. And Will and him, just kind of, whoever's up, one stays back. It's kind of the roles they've just decided on. Valeri will be the next midfielder, followed by Gaston Fernandez and Darlington Nagbe, and then Maxi Arruti up top. It's a pretty good rotation.
What do you expect out of Arruti this year? Give me like a goal tally that you think he'll have.
I think he gets high. I am good. Are you going to get another one? We'll hold off for a little bit. Thank you so much. Great staff here at T.S. McHugh's. The best. Arruti, I expect to get about a dozen goals. I expect three or four of them to be garbage, kind of throwaway goals where he hustles and maybe we're up one and we just go up two because he makes that extra play. He's a good finisher, not a great one. And I think that he's going to set up Gaston Fernandez and Nagbe to score more than he's going to score himself, perhaps.
Okay.
I think it doesn't. Does that seem like a lot? Maybe that's a lot. Martin scored 10 last year in like 25 games.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a little bit less than that production.
Okay.
So 12 over 34.
Okay.
Maybe 9 or 10 over 28, something like that. And what they've been doing in the preseason, I think they might do, is subbing in Szymanski as a midfielder in replace of either Gaston Fernandez or Diego Valeri, whoever kind of needs a rest more. And pushes it into a 4-4-2. And something that the Timbers have struggled with in the preseason, with this weird formation that they're kind of forming, kind of trying to figure out, is they're playing the middle almost exclusively and hope for the right and left back to get up as their wide presence. But sometimes they'll be on a break and they're too close together in the middle. And something that I'm not sure how they're going to deal with, but I'm not a, you know, I think Caleb Porter kind of has a plan there that I maybe just don't understand.
Yeah.
I see Frederick Piquion coming in a lot this year, getting a lot of minutes. And then Steve Zakawani is probably going to be our 20 minutes a game kind of guy. And I think he's going to come in when we're down and maybe sub in for Chara or Nagbe, and just to give an extra boost because that guy can fly.
Yeah, he can.
And especially for 20 minutes a game, he can fly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what he's going to give. I think Rodney Wallace, when he gets back in the picture, that's going to be really interesting to see what kind of shakes out. I think that's... Yeah, I'm not sure what it's going to look like. Sounders open up with... Who do you guys play?
I'm blanking. Kansas
City. Kansas City, that's right. That's a big match.
Yeah, it is. The one positive is that Kansas City's looked a little sluggish in the preseason, so we might be able to hit him at a good time.
their season ended 3 months ago.
Yeah.
December 7th. I mean, that's not that long ago.
So they might still be hungover from their championship, which I'm hoping for. I think if the Sounders can pull off a win against Kansas City and then either a draw or a win against Toronto, that'll be huge.
Vancouver is going to host the New York Red Bulls, the defending Supporters Shield. And Portland is facing a very, very revamped Philadelphia team that I think is a lot better than they were a year ago.
Yeah.
And they barely missed the postseason.
Yep.
Playoffs. Do you have playoff picks? Do you have a top five in the West?
I do.
I don't really care about the East. Do you want? You can pick an Eastern.
Yeah, I think Real Salt Lake's going to take another step forward.
Another step forward?
Yeah.
Man, I think Jason Kreis made a huge difference for that team.
You think so?
I do. I thought last year was going to be a rebuilding year, that they snuck into the playoffs.
Yeah. And then they
came in second. And I think about this year, and I think Kreis is that good of a manager that I still think they'll make the playoffs, but I have them more like fifth or fourth. You think they're going to take a step mm-hmm. up, though?
Yep. I think they're going to continue to take another step. Luis Gil is just going to come into his own and really boss that team around, especially with the opportunity that a new coach provides. I think Portland's going to finish second. I think Seattle's going to finish third.
Wow, you're pushing LA down to four.
LA's going to finish fourth. And then I'm still undecided on who's going to finish fifth. I honestly think that Chivas is going to take a huge step forward this year. I really think they're going to be much improved, and I think they're going to be hanging around the playoff picture. Now, I don't think they're necessarily going to get in. I think it's probably going to be a team like San Jose, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them up there at the end of the year.
I'd be very surprised if San Jose didn't make the postseason this year. But as far as who they're going to push out, it's hard to think about that. Colorado still doesn't have a manager.
Yeah. That's crazy.
You ready for that sentence? Colorado still doesn't have... The season is 6 days away.
It's insane.
Still don't have a manager. I think FC Dallas is going to get a huge boost from Perea. That's the manager, right? That left Colorado. Didn't mess up his name. But I still think they're a little short. I don't think Chivas is making the postseason. It would be fun to see them there, though. Does Zabaleta keep playing with them in the postseason?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a full loan.
Yeah,
it's like
a
12-month loan.
Yeah. I think Mauro Rosales, he's looked really good in the preseason. The problem is that he's not going to be able to go a full season. So I think, like, he's just going to be racking up assists. I think I think they're going to push. They're probably going to run out of steam at the end, but I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. They're much improved.
I see Portland finishing first, and I know that that's going to sound ridiculous coming from me. But like I said, I was talking to my roommate yesterday, Josh, huge Sounders fan, never gives me... Just gives me endless crap for being a Timbers fan. But one of my biggest fears for this season is that Portland are regular season heroes and just crush the West, win the West by, you know, 3-4 points, which is a lot in the West when it was separated by 4 points last
right.
year. And then kind of maybe even lose in the playoffs to Seattle or something like that. That's like one of my bigger fears.
I think that's what I warned you about last year, is that like you can look so good in the regular season, and then as soon as you get to a knockout round of the playoffs, it's like something changes. Like I think coaches take a bigger role.
That happened to San Jose against LA 2 years ago. They were amazing all regular season. Then LA just handed it to them in the first round.
It's also sample size, and I've screened this forever.
Yeah.
It's just like if you're relying on playoffs to decide your champion, you're not going to get necessarily the best team overall. You're going to get the team that's in the most form or found the right form at the end of the season.
I think Portland's going to be in the Supporters Shield race. I think their biggest competition is going to be the Galaxy. I think LA, I think Josie Zardes is going to just be a monster this year, playing alongside Robbie Keane. And even though Landon Donovan's going to take time for the World Cup, I don't think it'll matter too much. I think LA comes in second. I think that Real Salt Lake still makes the playoffs. Who did I have third? Sorry, I'm blanking for a second. No, I had RSL third. But I think they take a step back this year. I think that's something that happens later in the season. I have Seattle finishing fourth, and I have San Jose fifth, which isn't a great, like, prediction. I wish I could put Vancouver in there. I tried really hard, but I just don't see that happening.
So you think Seattle's a worse team or equal to what they were last year?
Team chemistry goes a long way. And if they finished third or second, I wouldn't be surprised. But looking at the talent alone, I think they're fourth. I think they're fourth team in the West. What's weird about MLS that I'm still trying to get used to, being kind of new to MLS, is that teams don't... if the Seahawks lose a free agent to the Niners get better and the Seahawks get worse. In MLS, Toronto can be terrible and add a bunch of players like Jermaine Defoe and Michael Bradley that aren't in MLS, so they are better without taking away.
The league collectively gets better by adding talent.
Correct. The league is getting better all the time, but Seattle is going to get better by adding good guys, team chemistry guys. But in my mind, like, the talent is somewhat similar. I understand Eddie's great, but I think Chad Marshall is going to make up for that. I think Kenny Cooper and Chad Marshall are going to cover the offensive side, and then Chad Marshall is going to improve the defense. But San Jose, you know, they got better this offseason. Portland got a little bit better, I think, this offseason. And a team like RSL got a chance to build and add a new guy. Everyone gets better all the time. Like, Chivas USA isn't going to lose as many games as they did last year.
Yep.
And they took from MLS talent. They took Andrew Jean-Baptiste and Mauro Rosales. But that doesn't really matter, because the Timbers and the Sounders just replaced those guys with non-MLS players. It's interesting.
Yep. It's a different factor that you don't have with a lot of other American sports leagues.
And I think that really puts an emphasis on coaching that other sports probably don't, dealing with all that.
Yep.
And, like, being better than your opponent who magically got better without hurting any other team. It's like, man, so those teams are still really good, and that team got better.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of a rant there. Whatever. Yeah, I think that's my prediction for the West. I think in the East, I think Kansas City wins the East.
Again?
I think they start real slow. I think March is going to be miserable for them. Maybe even like 1 point, 2 points, and then they'll be fine after that.
I see them finishing like third. I don't see yeah. them being able to do the same thing they did.
I think Philadelphia is going to be a lot better. A lot better. Okay, last thing, we got to do this here. Ben, you're David Beckham. How do you feel about that?
I feel pretty great.
That's great, because I always considered him your spirit animal anyway.
Like, I feel like I'm just wearing great underwear right now.
Yeah, so you're wearing great underwear.
I'm just going to, hold on, I'm unzipping my hoodie here.
He's unzipping, hold on. I can't believe that not enough people are seeing this.
My neckline looking pretty good? All
right. Oh, Benedict Cumberbatch is on the TV. I like Benedict Cumberbatch. And so you're David Beckham.
Feeling good.
I'm LeBron James. We both own the Miami Vice. I really like the name Miami Vice, by the way. I really hope they go with that. I don't think they're going to.
They won't.
They won't.
Sorry to crush your hopes and dreams.
Why? How do you know that?
Because they've already said they won't.
Well, that's dumb. I would say that, whatever. So the Miami team, Miami Fusion or Miami whatever the heck they're going to be, let's just say they have the pick of any MLS coach mm-hmm. they want. Who are their top three candidates?
I would say Jason Kreis, which is impossible because he just went to New York City FC and he's yeah. completely unavailable.
Dang, I thought I was going to be off on the side on this one. I think Jason Kreis is the best coach in MLS.
Yeah,
I was
he
hoping.
Is.
Dang it. Okay, I thought I was being clever.
Is that upsetting you?
Well, yeah, I thought you were going to say something else.
A system at RSL.
I thought you were going to make fun of me for being like, oh, Caleb Porter, which I wasn't. I was going to trick you and say Jason Kreis. Dang it.
Well, if Caleb Porter's in your top three, I'll still mock you.
Jason Kreis is a horrible name. I feel bad for him sometimes. Jason Kreis, like, okay. it's so bad.
Yeah, okay.
Jason Kreis, though, is number one. Bruce Arena's two, isn't he?
Yep, he's two for me.
All right, I put Caleb Porter third.
Unbelievable. He said,
think of all the Akron players you get. You just get Akron players.
Cool. We're talking about a college coach. He's had one single season in MLS.
He's the best MLS coach.
Which he could have overperformed.
He's
we
the
have no
best.
Clue.
Like, he's the best percentage of any MLS coach
ever.
He's
had one good year, and you're putting him in your top three. He hasn't won a championship.
What would it take?
He's won one playoff series.
Yeah. It was a good playoff series.
Yeah, sure. So he improved a team that already was improving anyway.
That's true. Okay, what would Caleb Porter have to do for you to put him on that list? Like, would he have to do it over a few years, or is there anything he could do this year?
I wouldn't even put him in next year, unless maybe if he won the championship next year, he might be up there, but it's just too small of a sample size. Like,
fair
cool.
enough. Okay, so who's your three?
That's a tough one. I've never thought Siggy Schmidt was in the top three, but I'm not seeing any other good candidates.
I thought Yollop was pretty good. I think he's going to do pretty well with Chicago this year with Mike McGee. Have a guy like Wando on his team. I think he'd be able to build around that. Petke's good, young. I would rather have a younger coach, someone with a newer style. Perea, man, what he did with Colorado last year was incredible.
Yeah, at the same time, though, if you're Beckham and you're building an expansion, like what Siggy did at Seattle was fantastic. I think his style of coaching and his knowledge of the league is perfect for setting up a new franchise. So I'd probably put him third on the list if I was the owner of a Miami team. Just because he fits what you would look for in your first coach. Now, maybe he's not the coach you want to take that next step once you've established, you know, a good program.
Yeah.
But what he did at Seattle as far as building something from scratch and making them relevant and in the playoffs every single year of their existence is pretty remarkable.
That's pretty special.
And he's won a championship. In Columbus, of all places.
Columbus, man. I don't like watching that team play. Like them in Houston. What about the Houston coach? They've been in the finals two of the last 3 years. I can't think of his name.
Why am I blanking on his name? This is terrible. He's a magician in the playoffs. Shameful. I can see his face. See his white hair.
Me too.
Shaved head.
It'll come to us soon as we end the pod.
As soon as we end the pod. In fact, you can probably like place his name over top of all these sentences post-production, right? Shameful. Dominic Kinnear.
Dominic Kinnear, good job.
Saved the pod. I just saved,
you saved it,
right it there.
You just saved it. We had people turning it off, but you kept them
right
there.
I need it.
All right, what do you want?
Dominic Kinnear special.
If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow Ben specifically at Ben Slager without vowels.
Correct.
What can people expect if they follow you on Twitter?
A lot of sounder talk, a lot of posts from Green and Shale.
Yeah.
I just saw some cool graffiti art outside that I'll probably post if you're into that.
Yeah.
Maybe some tweets about orcas that I see on the ferry. I travel by ferry to work every day, so.
The Cascadia pods.
Yeah.
Whale groupings.
Not even close. The J-pod, man. It's all about the J-pod.
J-pod. If you follow me at Jeff Budke, you can expect Bachelor Talk,
so
Mariner frustrations.
Juan Pablo's a jerk.
Juan Pablo's just so, he's such a bad person.
Such an asshole.
He doesn't listen. A horrible listener. And Rebecca Lowlove. That'd probably be the extent of my Twitter involvement. Oh, and sometimes soccer stuff. Not very often. Mostly Mariner frustration. Jesus Montero's so fat.
He is.
Holy cow. All right. I'm satisfied. How do you feel?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oscar party tonight. Who's going to win Best Picture?
It's so tough.
There's no way they give it to American Hustle, right?
You don't think so?
That's the only one.
10 Years a Slave,
well,
you think?
The story was good, but it wasn't, like, great.
That's true.
I wouldn't be surprised if something like Her won.
I think maybe 10 Years a Slave will win.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Of course it will. If they got Bradley Cooper in that movie, though, it would have won for sure. All right. I'm done. You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Talk to you later.